tonight, if we'll, let's go back over to the book of 2 John, and we'll be in chapter 1, because there's only one, all right? 2 John, if you will, we're going to begin reading down in verse 7, and so if you just turn there with us in the Word of God, 2 John chapter 1, verse 7. It's real easy to find. It's right between 1 John and 3 John. So, all right, you can't miss it. Just can't miss it. All right, verse 7, the Bible says, "For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of thy elect sister greet thee. Amen." I want you to go back and look at verse 1. The Bible said, "The elder unto the elect lady." And I remind you, this is the epistle of 2 John. And that is, it's a letter, all right? We talked about it. It's a letter that the Apostle John wrote to this lady. And we don't know her name, and it's not necessary, because it's so good if it was just to us, all right? You can just put your own name in there, "The elder unto the song leader at First Baptist," all right? And, you know, or just you, your name there. And it's important, because God's put something here for us, and we need to learn about it. We've seen so far in this book, I hope you've been with me, seen the importance of relationships, and especially those relationships built on truth. Built on truth. We need to major in that. And then we saw last Wednesday night, the emphasis, if you will, on that old commandment. Amen. That old commandment to love one another. John said it was that old commandment. And we went back to the Gospel of John, and he said, "I'm giving you a new commandment," all right? And we got the new one there, but by the time he wrote 2 John, it's that old one. And for us, it is that old one, all right? It is that old one. Now, the last part of this letter emphasizes something that is not considered important by a whole lot of people today. And the amazing thing is, it's not considered important by people who consider themselves and call themselves Christians. And they look at it and they say it's not important. But the Bible says just the opposite. It's very important. You say, what is that thing? It's doctrine. Doctrine. Man, listen, right doctrine is important, all right? And specifically, as the Bible mentions here in 2 John, the doctrine of Jesus Christ, all right? The doctrine of Christ. What about him, okay? Hey, if you don't get that right, you're sunk. You're in a mess, all right? It's important that that doctrine be correct and you have it right there. So let me just look at a few things with us tonight as we look through these verses. First thing I want you to see is deceivers abound. Verse 7 and 8 talk about deceivers. There's deceivers out there. And man, I can't help it, but it verse 6 says, "And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as you have heard in the beginning, you should walk in it. Far many deceivers are entered into the world." I'll be honest with you, I think there's a lot of deceivers out there when it comes to love. There's a whole lot of deceivers out there when it comes to the matter of love. Some people deceive about the importance of love and even what love is. There's a multitude of that. And I heard some statistics, and I did not write them down, and I heard some statistics. I don't know if it was yesterday afternoon or today, they were given statistics about how many people, as a Pew Research, of how many people believe that sexual relationships outside of marriage is okay. Long as there's two committed people, you know, and they care for each other, then that's all right. It doesn't matter. It's amazing to me, and it quoted this people that were in church. People in church, going to church. Listen to me. The Bible does not put its stamp of approval on that kind of thing. That doesn't do it. I mean, you know, we live in a day, though, man, we don't want to hear what the Bible has to say. Remember what I said a while ago during the commercial? About the authority? Nobody wants anybody to tell them what to do. Nobody wants anybody to tell them what to do. We don't want God to tell us what to do. We live in a day where that doesn't matter what God says. We've decided, well, we kind of voted amongst the society, and society says it's okay. Well, you better check with God. You better check with God on that kind of thing. So, man, when it comes to love, there's a lot of deceivers out there in the world. But I'll tell you one thing's true. It really is true about folks that will elevate love over doctrine. Over doctrine. A bunch of the charismatic crowd would say love unites, but doctrine divides. You say, what do you say about that, preacher? I say, amen. Yes, boy, I agree. Y'all have come out with something I can agree with you on, all right? Love will unite, or it could, and doctrine divides. Now, their argument is, well, we'll just get together and we love Jesus. If you love Jesus, everything's good. Well, no, that's not true. That's not true. As a matter of fact, I'll be honest with you, folks, doctrine is supposed to divide people. Doctrine is supposed to. That's what it's there for, all right? Now, don't get excited about doctrine. Doctrine is basically just biblical truth, all right? So how in the world would we ever get to the point where we say, well, that's not important? Well, because there's a lot of deceivers out there. A lot of deceivers out there. And the Bible warns us, he said, that deceptive bunch will cause you to lose what you have. Lose what you have. You look there in verse 8. Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Full reward. You know, I see people that they get listening to the deceiver and they wind up losing their peace. They lose their security. They lose their comfort. Man, they lose all of that, you know. It's just out there. And the Bible said, if you're not careful, you lose your reward in that. Hey, watch out for deceivers. Watch out for deceivers. Now, there's deceivers in all kinds. There's religious deceivers. There are religious deceivers. There's political deceivers. Political deceivers. I remember the old joke used to be said, the way you tell when a lawyer's lying is if his lips are moving, all right? Well, that's sort of true, I think, nowadays, politicians, you know? That's the way you can tell they're lying, because they don't care what they say. They're scholarly deceivers. There's people out there deceive you. So-called scholars would deceive you over the Bible. Amen. They'd deceive you over the Word of God. Don't let somebody like that bother you, okay? Hey, folks, listen, I've been to school, all right? I went to college. I got a degree. But the one thing I never did is let that degree go to my head and make me think I was smarter than God. Just didn't do that. When I got out of college in 1976, I did not say that's enough education for me. I've been trying to keep educating myself ever since then. I've read a lot of the arguments on both sides of the Bible issue. And boy, I want to tell you, the crowd on the other side doesn't have the ammo, all right? And the ammo's on the side of those of us who believe this King James Bible's Word of God. We believe it, all right? Hey, watch out for scholarly deceivers. Hey, look out for financial deceivers. Oh, my goodness. There's so many scammers in the world today. Never ceases to amaze me. Sometimes when I answer the phone and you hear somebody, if I wasn't busy, I would punch the button and talk to them and carry them just as far as I could get them to go. And then I'd say, you know, one of these days, the Bible says, and suddenly I'm going to give you the amended version, liars shall be friars in the pits of hell, all right? That's not a verbatim quote, but it does say that. Hey, what are they? Financial deceivers. They're scammers. Oh, my soul. And we've just touched the hem of the garment, all right? The Bible says, watch out. Deceivers abound. But then it goes into verse 10, and what a wonderful truth. Or verse 9, excuse me. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Hey, deceivers abound, but I'm telling you, doctrine abides. It'll stay with us, all right? It's definitely the doctrine of Christ that divides folks. Hey, it's the doctrine of Christ that divides religious folks. Religious people. Let me give you an illustration. Don't lose your place here. Stick your fingers in there and hold it. But go back to the Gospel of John, would you? Go back to the Gospel of John with me just for a moment or two. Look at chapter 7. Look at chapter 7, if you would. John chapter 7. And we're just going to look at three different passages of Scripture right here in John. One in John 7, one in John 9, one in John 10. And I've said to you, hey, it's the doctrine of Christ that divides people. It is what we believe about Him that matters. John 9, verse 43, so there was a division among the people because of Him. That's Jesus Christ. In the Lord's day, there was a division among the people because of Jesus Christ. Flip over to John chapter 9. I said John 7, 43 first. If you'd have listened to me first, you wouldn't have been confused, all right? All right, John chapter 9, verse 16, all right? Be quiet, all right? John chapter 9, verse 16. Just say amen, all right? All right, thank you. That's better. All right, John chapter 9, verse 16. The Bible says, therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. Why? Because of Jesus Christ. All right, chapter 10. Chapter 10, verse 19. The Bible said there was a division, therefore, again, among the Jews for these sayings. Old man said, how bad was it? Look at verse 20. And many of them said, he hath the devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, these are not the words of him that hath the devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? Hey, there was division because of him. What are you saying, preacher? This is what I'm saying. It's the doctrine of Christ that divides men. Friend, it's what you believe about the Lord Jesus Christ that determines everything, all right? It's what you believe about him. First of all, what you believe about the person of Christ. What do you mean by that? Well, he's the only begotten Son of God. He is the only begotten Son of God. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, the Bible tells us, speaking of Jesus Christ, that he was God manifest in the flesh. God manifest in the flesh. There's a lot of people today in the religious realm, in the world of Christianity, that deny Jesus Christ was God. Deny Jesus Christ was God. Hey, they're wrong on Christ. Amen. They're wrong on him. Luke chapter 1 and chapter 2, he was born of a virgin. Amen. He was born of a virgin. You say, how do you know we got testimony of the Bible? We got the Old Testament testimony said he would be born of a virgin. Amen. We've got the testimony of Luke, who was a doctor, and he said he was born of a virgin. Well, we got the testimony of his own mother. When she said, how in the world could I be with child? Impossible! Why? Because she's a virgin. She's a virgin. You said, now, preacher, those things, come on now, those things really don't matter. Wait a minute. Oh, yes, they do. Hey, the truth of Christianity would fall apart with it not for a virgin-born Savior. Wouldn't have a chance in the world. And this crowd that gets up and professes to be Christian and would say that wasn't necessary, they're lying to you. They're deceivers. Hey, we want to be sure we've got it right when it comes to person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we're not going to cover everything about the doctrine of Christ, okay? They teach courses in Bible colleges, and they last two semesters and don't cover the subject, all right? So we're not going to cover it tonight in just a few minutes. But just a few things. First of all, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, you better be right on who He is. Amen. You better be right on who He is. He is the Son of God. He is God in the flesh. When He came to this world, He was 100% God.
Amen.
But He was also 100% man.
Amen.
He was a virgin-born Son of God. Son of God. Don't you forget it. Not only the person of Jesus Christ, but you need to be right about the purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why did He come? A lot of people say, well, He came to be a good example. Well, He was a good example, but that's not the reason He came. It's not the reason He came. He sets an example we can never live up to, but we're to do our best to emulate. But that's not the reason He came. Somebody said, well, He's a great teacher. I mentioned that on Sunday night. Nicodemus said, we know thou art a teacher come from God, but He was a lot more than the teacher. That wasn't the purpose of His coming. My friend, He came to this earth as God and as man, took upon Himself the form of a servant, made in the likeness of men. Why? So He could live a perfect, sinless life, because that's what it took to be the sacrifice for our sins. That's what it took. Had to be that. It had to be the pure Lamb of God. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ came. That was His purpose. He came to be the Savior of the world. The Lord Himself, when He's on the earth, said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. Hey, listen, you've got to be right about that. You've got to be right on the purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ. You got to have that. I mean, if you're messed up there, you're in trouble. Because if that sacrifice was not sufficient, there is no sacrifice.
Amen.
There is no sacrifice sufficient. And you and I are lost.
Amen.
Along with everybody else that ever lived, we're headed for hell. Not a chance in the world. But oh, thank God. God sent His Son. He was born of a virgin. He came to this old world. And He lived here for 33 and a half years and never once did He ever sin, even though He was tempted in all points, like as we are, but it was without sin. What a blessing. That was Him. And by the way, today, just so you'll know, you won't be right on the purpose of Christ, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5 says, He's the only mediator between God and man. He's the only mediator. Listen, if you're counting on somebody else to run interference for you between you and God, you're in trouble.
Amen.
You're in trouble. He's the only mediator.
Right.
Boy, the only one. Hey, He's the only one that understands God.
Yes, sir.
And understands man.
Yeah.
And understands man. Boy, He understands us because He was one of us.
Amen.
He knows what it's like to live here. He knows what it's like to be tempted. He knows what it's like to have to put up with the cares of this old world. But boy, He completely and fully understands God because He is God. He's the only mediator. The only one that could bring us together. The only one. Boy, what a blessing. Don't you be mistaken about the doctrine of Christ as to His purpose, as to His person. But my friend, neither should you be mistaken about His performance. Boy, don't ever be mistaken about His performance. Look back, if you will. Once again, don't lose your place here. But go back to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. When you think about the performance of the Lord Jesus Christ, I think about, baseball players. The world gets all excited if a fella can bat 300. If that guy's, man, if he bats in the 300, his batting average is above 300. Whoopee. You realize that means he doesn't get on base four times, almost four times out of 10 when he comes up to bat. When I used to go to the ball game, I found out that every ball player, when I was there, it was the times he wasn't going to get on base.
Amen. Amen.
Right. I mean, I'd stand there and I'd be sitting in the seat hoping this guy, yeah, man, he's going to. Nah, struck out.
Right.
Struck out. No. He smacked it. Dribble, dribble, dribble. Yeah. The guy picks it up and throws him out at first, you know.
Right.
Hey, but the world gets excited if they're successful. Hey, very few men have ever batted 400.
Oh, yes.
Very, very. I mean, that number is minuscule, all right?
Yes.
Minuscule. Somebody's batted 400 in the major leagues. And they get excited. But that means they fail 60% of the time.
That's exactly right.
60% of the time they're a failure. I was going to tell you something. The performance of the Lord Jesus Christ, a whole lot better than that. And there in Colossians chapter 3, look in verse 9, would you? And verse 9 in Colossians. Man, I'm in Philippians. I wondered why that wasn't reading the way I wanted it to. Colossians 3, verse 9, lie not one to another, seeing that you've put off the old man with his deeds. Well, I'm still not where I want to be. That's not the verses I'm looking for. I hate it when my computer writes the wrong thing down. I cannot find where I'm at. Well, I know where I'm at, but I'm not where I want to be. How about that? Well, look with me here, all right? Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, because I know where I am there. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I just want you to notice, you talk about the Lord and his performance. Nobody ever succeeded the way he did. Nobody ever succeeded the way he did. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 17, if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Oh, but I want to tell you, that's true. We would be in that mess. Earlier in 1 Corinthians 15, it tells us that our preaching's in vain too if he's not risen. But he is risen. Hey, not only did he come and live that sinless life, but they took his life, or he gave his life. They didn't take it. He laid down his life for us on Calvary. He died, and they carried him out and buried him. But 3 days later, he came out of that grave, all right? 3 days later, he came back. He rose again. You talk about a solid performance. We're talking about batting 1,000, all right? Never been defeated, all right? He ascended back to heaven. He lives to make intercession for you and I. The Bible says it so aptly when it says he doeth all things well. Doeth all things well. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, his person, his performance. All of the things that have to do with the Lord Jesus Christ, perfect, perfect. Don't mess up on the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Don't do that. Why? Well, go back with me to 2 John, all right? 2 John. If there come, this verse 10, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, what doctrine? The doctrine of Christ. Receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. I just want to tell you, not only, if you will, are deceivers abounding and doctrine abides, but dummies abort, okay? You just need to abort the dummies. I asked Brother Dunbar the other day, I said, you reckon it'd be all right to say dummies in the sermon on Wednesday night? He didn't say I couldn't, so I am, all right? Dummies are those who bring any other doctrine. Bring any other doctrine. Brother Dunbar's got into a little bit of a discussion over the internet with an individual about something, and you know, he was trying to be kind, and man, the guy just went off on him. And we learned something. I mean, he did. I did. I had no idea. I had no idea that the people out there that follow one individual believe you and I are going to hell because we disagree with what they think. Man, I don't know about you, but I'm glad God's God.
Amen.
I'm glad he didn't put men in charge of this thing, all right? And they do, boy, they rant and rave. I'm going to tell you, the dummies are those who bring any other doctrine. You say, who are you talking about? Well, for sure the Jehovah's Witness. For sure the Jehovah's Witness. Hey, they do not believe what we believe about the Lord Jesus Christ. Neither do the Mormons. Neither do the Mormons. They do not believe what we believe about Jesus Christ. I have a hard time. Well, I don't have a hard time. I absolutely believe without a shadow of a doubt they're not Christians.
Amen.
Man, I don't believe they are for a moment, all right? So what does the Bible say? Well, the Bible said don't let them in. So what it says there, if any come unto you, bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house.
Amen.
Don't let the rascal get in.
Amen.
Don't let the rascal get in. I made a mistake of doing that one time when I was a kid. This lady came by the house, and she was out. I was young and dumb, and I was there, and I answered the door. She knocked on the door, and I went to the door. This lady, and she asked, she said, is your folks at home? Well, I said, my dad is, and... Well, can I talk to him? I thought, well, I guess so. We're friendly people, you know. So I was down in Florida, and in Florida we had what we called a Florida room. And it's like a porch, but it's got windows all the way around, you know. You can see in it real easy. And so so I said, yeah, come on in. You have a seat there. And I went and got Dad, and he came and sat down, and they started talking. I wasn't paying any attention at all. I was doing something else, you know, and then I heard Dad call, Marla, bring me my Bible. So I said, okay. I went and got his Bible and took it to him. Found out later it was a Jehovah's Witness. And I hung around just long enough for hear him say, now, ma'am, I've listened to you. Now I want you to be just as nice and listen to me. And he took the word of God. And after when they got through, she got up and she said, well, I can't say I've enjoyed my visit. And my dad kindly said, I didn't ask you to come. Okay? He said, preacher, that's rude, no? Listen, let me tell you something. When people mess around with false doctrine, they'll take you to hell. They will take you to hell. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your time. Well, I'll get them. I'll convert them. It's a very dim chance you will. Very slim, slim chance. And by the way, if you can, don't do it in your house because the Bible said not to. Bible said not to. Hey, listen, I'm not offended when I'm out knocking doors. I'm not offended if I have a Jehovah's Witness tell me I ain't interested in what you got to say. Doesn't offend me. I think, well, no, you're not interested in the truth of the Word of God. You're interested in what Judge Rutherford had to say. And I don't care what Judge Rutherford said. He said, who was that? We don't have time. All right? We don't have time to go there tonight. But listen, you and I need to realize when you start fooling around with folks that are going to take you false doctrine, and by the way, they can weave a wonderful sounding argument, and if you're not up on the Word of God, they'll trick you. You will be deceived. The same is true of the Mormon crowd.
Oh, yeah.
Same is true. Nice folks.
Oh, yeah.
Nice folks. But they do not believe what you and I believe about the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
They don't believe it. They're messed up on the doctrine of Christ. Hey, look out for them, all right? The Bible said don't even bid them Godspeed. It's hard for me not to do this. I'm in the habit of people say, man, have a good day. I try not to even say that to them.
Yeah, amen. That's right.
I'll see you.
Right.
Now, I just thought of something I really ought not to say, so I won't, all right? But, man, it sounded good in here, but I don't think it would out there.
Yeah.
But, you got to be careful. You see, to bid them Godspeed means you approve of what they're doing. And you're hoping they'll do well. Well, I don't guarantee you, I'm not hoping they'll do well. I'm not in approval of what they're doing. I really hope nobody will be deceived by that false doctrine. Now, friend, look, you do not have to agree with me on everything that I believe to get to heaven. But if you're messed up on the Lord Jesus Christ, you ain't got a chance.
Amen.
You ain't got a chance. And that's not my word. That's the word of God. That's the word of God. He says there very simply in verse 9, abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, hath not God. Now, I didn't say that. That's what the word of God says. All right. That's what the word of God says. Hey, this stuff about right doctrine is important. Right doctrine. Look, that's why we preach. That's why I push and push and encourage people to come to church Sunday morning,
Amen.
Sunday night, Wednesday night. Be in Sunday school.
Amen.
Hear the word of God taught.
Amen.
Read your Bible.
Yes.
Read your Bible. Well, preacher, I read and don't understand. Keep reading.
That's right. Amen.
Keep reading. Keep reading. You just keep reading it, all right? And then be in church.
Amen.
Be in church where the word of God's upheld, it's taught, it's preached. Stick with the place that believes this book, all right? Man, and you'll get it if you just stick with it, all right? Then I want you to notice, in verse 12 and verse 13, John winds up his letter. It's like where you and I say, love so-and-so, or sincerely so-and-so. Well, this is John saying that, all right? But look at the way he says it there in verse 12. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full.
Amen.
Hey, listen, there's nothing like declaring it face to face. Nothing. Some things need to be handled face to face. All right? More is needed than words on paper. For heaven's sakes, on a stupid phone screen, in a text. There's been a lot of people get in trouble in the Lord's work texting. Have y'all ever noticed that we communicate with more than just our mouth and more than just words? We communicate with everything. I teach a course over in Bible College of professional communications. And I said, man, you communicate with everything that you have and everything you are. Everything you are. And sometimes what you're trying to convey, if you just punch in the buttons on your phone, and somebody will take it wrong. Somebody will take it wrong. Okay? I just got a question. You know, you hear the sentence, throw the horse over the fence, a bale of hay. What does that really mean? I don't know about you, but I can't throw a horse over a fence. You say, well, that's not what that means. How do you know that's not what that means? Well, yeah, see, that's just it. If all you got is words, you know, my brother, he used to be bad about this. He'd say, what's in the road? Ahead?
Amen.
You with me? It's where you put the emphasis.
Amen.
No, I don't see ahead in the road myself. You know, well, that's not what I meant. It sounded like what you said. Now, y'all, you understand what I'm saying? Communication. You got to be careful. Boy, I've known people. I had a staff member. It wasn't Brother Dunbar. So don't look at him, all right? I had a staff member one time. He was doing some communicating back and forth and texting, and I got to talking to him and looking at him. I said, hey, you better quit. Now, he wasn't doing anything immoral, blah, blah, blah. But I said, you better stop, because you can't tell what people on the other end are understanding and perceiving you to say.
Amen.
You better be careful. There's some things that are just so much better face-to-face than written down. I was talking to Brother Cedro yesterday, and we was talking about, and I told him, I said, man, if I'm conducting business, I really don't like it to be on the phone. I like to be face-to-face.
Amen.
Face-to-face. I've said multitudes of times, I believe if you get in a situation where, for instance, you can't pay a bill, the thing to do is go look the person in the eye and say to them, I can't pay it right now, but I promise you it'll get paid.
Amen.
You see, I still believe that's an old-fashioned right way to do things.
Amen.
Right way to do things. But, we, you know, it's face-to-face. Now, some things are a lot better expressed in person. It prevents misunderstanding. John said, I've got a lot of other things, but somebody already mad by what I wrote. No, he didn't say that. But he said, I got more, but I want to be sure I get it to you. And he said, some of it's a lot easier to tell you, and especially if you're being deceived, if we can get face to face. We can get face to face. And by the way, did you notice the last thing that verse said in verse 12? Said that our joy may be full. Our joy may be full. There is nothing like, hey, by the way, he gets down there and he said, the children of thy elect sister greet thee. The elder in verse 1, elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth. We're talking about people that know the Lord. We're not talking about the lost. We're talking about people that know the Lord and love the Lord. Hey, there's nothing like fellowship of believers face to face. That was the hardest thing during those weeks we went through here where we didn't have face-to-face meetings in the house of God, not to be able to get together with God's people. Man's hardest thing in the world. Why? We need that fellowship. Why? That our joy may be full. There's just nothing like it. There's no substitute for it. None whatsoever. Hey, John wrote a letter. Had a lot of good stuff in it, all right? Hey, your doctrine of Christ needs to be right. And when I say right, I mean it needs to be biblical. Watch out for deceivers. Watch out for deceivers. Stay away from that crowd that holds the false doctrine. Boy, can I say this to you? There's so much garbage on the internet. And there's a lot of false doctrine. A ton of it. And man, it's right at your fingertips there, all right? Well, don't go, so I just want to listen to hear what they say. Don't, man. It just confuses. I fire out of you. You say, do you listen to them? No. No. More than I don't have time to waste. I don't have time to waste with all them jaybird. Once I hear just enough to know that this guy's an imposter, I'm done. I don't have to go how far dumb he is, all right? I'm just contented. He is. He's got problems. Let's move on. Let's move on. And don't waste your time there. And whatever you do, don't forsake face-to-face fellowship and teaching and preaching of the Word of God. What a mistake. I feel so sorry for people. Even before, way before there was any of this pandemic stuff going on, people will tell you, well, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. What rock you been under? Man, we need it. We need that fellowship. Oh, we need it. How well we need it. God help us. God help us keep our doctrine right. God help us to keep our relationships right in the truth. In the truth, man. Help us know what it is to love the way we ought to love and to love just like that. Look out for deceivers the whole time. They're going to be after you. Heavenly Father, help us tonight. Help us to see our need. Lord, help us know and understand the Word of God. And Lord, help us that we'd continue in doctrine. Lord, help us not to be apologizing for doctrine that we hold. Yes, it divides us. Doesn't have to make us ornery. Doesn't have to make us hateful. But it'll divide us. But that's okay. That's okay. They divided over you when you were here. Ought not to be surprised if there's division today over you. Lord, just help us to love you. Help us love one another. Fellowship one another. And keep our eyes open for that deceiver. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you. It's good to have you tonight. You're dismissed.